the introduction. We thank the Lord for this opportunity that we can come and worship Him. I think I was told that you get out 11 o'clock. So I was thinking, oh, how can I preach only 15 minutes or 10 minutes? But we'll try. We'll try to just share some verses from the book of Titus. But before we look into those verses, let's bow our head for a word of prayer. Father, thank you for today. We thank you for your love for us. And we thank you that we can call you Father. And we also thank you that because of your love, you left your home in glory and to come down to this earth and to save us from our sins. And we also thank you for our families here, family of Christ. And we also do pray, Lord, that you continue to be with us and bless us as we look into your word. I thank you for in Christ's name I do pray. Amen. I forgot to also, I was going to also get up and ask for prayer. But maybe when you have a time to pray, remember my son, older son, is going to a boot camp. He was enlisted into the Marine, so he's going on the August 2nd. Just a few weeks, then he will be leaving, I think, San Diego. So pray for him that as he go to this new environment, and that the Lord will help him, give him strength emotionally. I thank you. When I became a Christian, I was kind of thinking, so now I know that when we're living our lives in this world without Christ, and our lives is also different. But when Christ changes us, then that's the question we can ask. How then shall I live? How then shall I live my life as Christ changed me? To be the man, to be the woman that God has planned. In Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 15, I want to read from the American Standard Version. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to verse 15. Say, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. These things speak and exhort and reprove with all authority. Let no one disregard you. Those are the verses I just want to share with us today. I know it's kind of, it is hard verses for me to try to explain to us. And I know that it is talking about the salvation from the penalty of sin, salvation from the power of sin, and salvation from the presence of sin. It looks back, and also looking for the present time, and then looking for the future. Firstly, we look at the verse 11. It talks about the grace of God. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. I'm trying to look for that verse, why it talks about the grace of God. But it deals with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ himself appeared, came in history, and to die on the cross, to purchase us, to save us from the penalty of sin. Grace comes from the Greek word charis. It says unmerited favor, kindness, and it stresses that salvation spoken of through Christ is based on the unmerited favor of God. It provides a redemption that is free and based not on human merit or religious works or moral good deeds, but on the gracious gift of God through faith alone in Christ alone. And you can see in the book of Revelation 21:6, 22:17, Ephesians 2:8-9, and Titus 3:4-5. It says the unmerited favor of God, the grace of God has appeared to all mankind. And it kind of tells a little bit show like the metaphor of a sun. As the sun rises up from the east to enlighten the whole world. And as the Son of Righteousness, the Lord Jesus Christ, appeared in history so that all mankind and those who are still in darkness, they will see the Son of Righteousness shine upon their heart so they will know who Christ is. The first time I became a Christian, but before I thought that, well, I'm a Christian because I do good. I participate in church. I involve in doing all the ministry in my church back home. But as Ephesians 2:8-9 says, not by works, lest any man should boast. It is the grace of God alone. So when Christ saved me, and then as I said, I asked the question, and now how then shall I live my life for Him? Christ came into this world to release us from the bondage of sin. The word, we look at those, what it says, redemption or redeem. It kind of gets the idea of a marketplace. It says long time, the Roman Empire, they trade slaves. They go and buy their slaves from the market or from the place where they sell the slaves. So they have to pay and then take the slave. And that's the idea of redemption. It says Christ came into this world to redeem us from the market of sin so that you and I not only realize that God purchased us with His own blood, but is releasing us from that bondage of sin. It says the word lutro, that's a Greek word, says to release. And that's the powerful word. We thank God for that. Because He's not only purchased us with His own blood, but He releases us from the power, from the penalty of sin. And I think that's the main starting point for us people, for us Christians. In order for us to live a Christian life, in order to show how Christ lives in our hearts and life, then the first step must be exercise. And the first step is for us to come to Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the one who purchased us with His own blood. And I think many times we take for granted, oh, I know that Christ came into this world, He died for all mankind, and I'm included in that. But it says, until a person realizes that he's a sinner, realizing that only by the blood of Christ, only realizing that the grace of God can save him from the penalty of sin, penalty of sin. In the book of Hebrew, the one who wrote the book of Hebrew doesn't really show us who is the author of the book of Hebrew. And also that book is also hard, very hard for us to try and to think of it. But I think when the person, I will just say God, is the one who wrote the book. Because when it says, when the Spirit spoke, But we know that the Word of God is inspired Word of God. It says the Judaizers, they all know about Christ. They exercise the things in their religious way of doing, worshiping God. But some of them, they come closer to accepting that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They know about Him. They experience the work of the Holy Spirit among themselves. And yet, they lost it all. In chapter 2, the book of Hebrews, it says, since we have realized or we know the characters of God, why should we accept Jesus? I think one of them is that since we know the characters of God, that He's the one that's served by angels, He's the creator of the universe, He's the Son of righteousness, He's the Son of God. And since the Jews, or since the Judaizers, they knew Him from His characters, and still they miss. They drift away from that opportunity to come 100% committing their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank the Lord for this opportunity that we can also come to Him because of His grace and His mercy through God, through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how we can release from the penalty of sin to come to the Lord Jesus Christ empty-handed, but believing that He's the Son of God, or He's the one that He gave Himself for us all. In Romans 3:23, it says, For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's the bad news for the human race. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God through Jesus Christ, eternal life. We were born to be king. But I guess because our fathers, because of what Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden, we lost it all. We lost paradise. We lost that opportunity or that time that we were made to be. And I think that's why God looked down on this earth, and He knew that we cannot save ourselves. And so He sent His only Son. He appeared in history past, so that we can look back and see that He is the one that God sent to die for us, so that He can purchase us, so that can salvation from the penalty of sin, that you and I can be released from the bondage of sin. So after that, when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and then God expects us to now live a Christian life that will glorify Him in every day of our lives. And I think that's what we are now, the present time. And God wants us to live the life that demonstrates the Christian life that we have because of Him. In that verse 12, it says, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. We know that this present age is evil. Galatians, it talks about that this age is evil. This place or this time, this earth is full of evil. And that's why I think it's so important for us to look back and to see our life in Christ. And we can see right now that He wants us to demonstrate, to show the whole world. And this is how God wants me to live my life, so that others will see Jesus in me. But first of all, it says that two negative things that it says in the verse 12. Instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, two things it talks about. The negative, on that negative side, is that it says that to deny ungodliness and to deny worldly desires. To say no to ungodliness and to say no to worldly desires. I know that the devil or the evil one is so smart. It wants to trap us. It wants us to face or to follow his pattern, his way of doing things in this world. Sometimes we don't really think of it, but we look around, we see a lot of things in this world. We say that, oh, it's good. It is better for me to even experience it. But a lot of things that is arranged by the human society, by the human way of doing things, and that can oppose to the things that God wants us to live. I think that's what we call it, the worldly things. Things that is opposed to the way God wants us to. Ungodliness, living opposed to the characters of God. That we ignore it, that there is God. We ignore that the way for us to live our lives is to explain or magnify and to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in our heart and life. So how then shall we live our life? It's so important. So for other people to see us or to see Christ in our lives, that's the type of life we should live out. The way we speak, the way we demonstrate our love toward others, the way we proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ to others, that's the way God wants us to live the life. Ungodliness, it says, a lack of reverence for God that expresses itself in complete disregard for God, in thought and in actions. By contrast, a godly person is one whose life revolves around worship and service of God. The second thing to deny is worldly desires. It comes from the word cosmos. Cosmic gods, from the word cosmos, it says order. The universe as an order system. Cosmos is used in the following ways. First, it says inhabitants of the earth or the mass of mankind as it is arranged in tribes and nations. Acts 17:24-26. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It says that's one thing about, or that's one world, or the word cosmos derived from also that one. It's the inhabitants of the earth or the mass of mankind as it arranged in tribes and nations. Second, it is use of the order or arrangement of the heavens or earth and all things in it. 2 Peter 3:16 and John 11:9, 1 Timothy 6:7. But the last one, I think this is what this verse talks about. It says the vast system or arrangement of human affairs, which always stands opposed to the God of this, or let me read it again. The vast system or arrangement of human affairs, which always stand opposed to the will of God and is controlled by Satan, who is called the ruler of this world and the God of this world, or age. You will find that in John 12:31, 14:39, 16:11, and 17:15-17. 2 Corinthians 4:4. So I think this is what it talks about in that verse, particular verse. It says a system, fast system that arranged by the human affairs. So it says, do not, or instructing us, discipline us, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires. But now we come to the positive side. It says, but to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age. And that's what God wants us to demonstrate. To live sensibly, to live righteously, and to live godly in this present age as it's arranged by the human affairs. Sometimes it's so appealing for us to follow, for us to grasp what this world is offering to us. It's, you can see all over the screen, on TV. Oh, you will do this. It's good. As you get it, you are really happy about it. So sometimes we move on and get it. Later on, we realize that this is not the way that God wants to have, or God wants to live my life. Not only for our, the way we live, but also it involves things in our churches today. The evil one, it will try his best. What is the way of the world? The way of the world is contrary to the way of God. The first one, it says, the verse 12, to live sensibly. In the other person, it says self-control. One's personal life, that is formed under God's control to overcome life-dominating patterns. That's self-control. I'll read again. It says one's personal life, so that we are formed under God's control to overcome life-dominating pattern. Secondly, it says to live upright. One's relationship with others or to our neighbor in fairness, integrity, honesty, and truthfulness. That's the second thing it says for us to live a upright life and self-control life. But the third one, it says to live godly. The godly type of life, it says one's relationship with God in that one's life is centered on him as the primary object to worship and on his will and purposes. This forms the foundation of source of motivation and control of the other two relationships. So I think that's, this is the main important one, to live a godly life so that the other two can be shown in our lives uprightly and self-control. And that's the one that the grace of God instructs us to do. To live righteously, to live godly, to live uprightly for the Lord Jesus Christ. So the question we might ask, or I might ask, how we do, or how we live our life today? How do you live your life in this present age? Or how do I live my life in front of my own family? How do I live my life in front of the community? How do I live my life in front of my church members? Do I show my love, the love of Christ to them? Do I live my life as the one, the life that God controls, that whatever I say is the way that God wants to say? For whatever I do, that's the way God wants me to do. There was one song I always remember. It says, for whatever it takes, to draw closer to you, Lord. And that's what I'm willing to do. Take the precious things. Take the fame. Take my land. If that's what you want me to do. And this is also a challenging to my own self. As I study the verses, as I read through the scripture, I meditate upon it. I say, Lord, break my heart and allow me to live out the life you want me to live so that others can see Jesus in me. Because it comes to the third point. Because when Christ returned back, it talks about waiting for the blessed hope. When the second appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ returned to this earth, what will be my reaction when the Lord Jesus arrives? That's the glorification time. Those three also terms in theology says justification, sanctification, and glorification. Justification, because of Christ, save us from sins. Sanctification, we are living now our lives to show that Christ lives in our lives. And thirdly, glorification. That's when we are in or with Christ forevermore. When he comes back. And so that kind of motivates us. We know that in the future, Christ is returned. As a Christian, how shall I live my life? Or go back to the first one. Do I really know him? Or I just knew about him? There is difference. Know about Jesus or know him alone. To know Christ is to really have him as our Lord and Savior. But just to know about him, then we just know the facts that he came to this world and he died on the cross 2,000 years ago and he resurrected from the dead and he ascended up to heaven and we're waiting for him to return back. Do we only know about him or we know really him as our Lord and Savior? Because if we really know him, then it will motivate us to live that kind of life. And then to expecting him as he returns, that we will be with him forevermore, praising him. It says, there will be no sorrows, no crying, there will be no sin anymore, because we are in the millennium, we are with Christ, the righteousness, with Christ, the one without sin. How then shall we live our life? That's the question I can leave to us today. Since Christ changed me, since Christ saved me, Christ, you instruct me to live my life first, to deny, to say no to ungodliness, to say no to worldly desires, but live my life uprightly, righteously and godly. I pray and I hope that as we heard this word today, we will examine our hearts before his word. And then we can say, Lord, thank you. First of all, for saving me. Lord, thank you for giving the Holy Spirit to empower me to live my life, to show Christ to others, because we cannot do it on ourselves. To try to live godly, righteously, and uprightly, we cannot do unless the Holy Spirit help us to live that life. And that's a good thing about when we are in Christ. Because what? Once we accepted him as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes in our hearts. The Holy Spirit sealed us. We are possession of Christ. The Holy Spirit empower us to live out that life that we cannot do. So we can thank Him, especially for saving us. We can thank Him for helping us through the Holy Spirit. And we can thank Him that as He returns, we can see Him face to face. And we'll say, Lord, thank You for dying on the cross for me. Lord, thank You for allowing the Holy Spirit to work in my life, to live the life You want me to live. And thirdly, thank You that now I can face, stand in front of You, before You, with the honor to honor You as my God and my Savior. May God bless His word. Thank You. Life You want me to live. And thirdly, thank You that now I can face, stand in front of You, before You, with the honor to honor You as my God and my Savior. May God bless His word.